Where Murder Meets Mystery contains graphic and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, ghoul friends. Welcome to the Murders of the Streets, where you walk around and do things with your hands. Let's take a walk down the street where murder meets mystery, a podcast exploring the murderous, the mysterious, and everything that lies beyond the beyond. I'm your brother and... Oh, God. I'm your Trevor. Podcast host, Trevor.
Trevor, you should
I'm trying to ruin...
No, you should have told me that this was going to be a drunk episode. I'm not prepared.
No, well, you know what? I mince words enough and slur enough speech to where... cool friends... Take a poll of how many times you think I'm drunk.
That's my aesthetic, is I just appear drunk because of my lack of coordination and slurs.
It's all your allergies.
Yeah, so true. I'm always just wobbling. Stay wobbly.
Goblin?
Honestly.
Oh, wobbling.
No, yeah. not goblin. Oh, shut up.
Oh, always goblin. Grace is always in goblin mode.
No. Don't tell people that. Oh my god. Okay.
I don't even know what cool that friends. Means. I just hear what the kids say.
Cool friends. Shut up. Cool friends. Welcome.
Hey, cool friends. Grace is
to
sus.
To our no chaotic cap. Corner of stop. Stop trying to relate to me. So, our
1 year younger than me. Fuck off.
Chaotic corner. I'm not even. It's not even 1 year. I'm like 5 months. Right?
All right. Tell me, why does my tab keep opening?
I don't know.
All right.
I see.
Anyway, Grace, tell me about your week. I already tried to tell you about my week before the cameras rolled, and I don't really have anything, so
good luck. I don't either. So my parents are having their kitchen redone, and so that's what I'm going to just pretend it didn't happen. So my parents are having their kitchen redone, and so they've been sending me paint samples and blurry paint. Pictures of the countertops and whatnot. So that's been
and it's so funny about them just getting their kitchen
around. Hilarious. And my dad has been sending so many puns with the granite and the
he's hurting.
I don't know, just whatever.
He's hurting. Yeah. He's hurt.
He's not hurting. Nothing's Call your dad. Going on.
Call your dad.
Call your dad. Oh my god. Okay, cool friends. Welcome to our little chaotic corner of the internet.
Yeah,
I'm
we're
Grace.
On one today.
I forgot to say that part.
Yeah, and I'm your on one podcast host, Trevor.
Yeah, we are on one today. Yeah, hey,
not,
since we're
not
our
rage.
Time is limited. Since our time not rage.
Not rage. Grace always rage. Me.
I'm
it's an
always,
amalgam.
I'm always angry. When in doubt. Is Grace mad? Yeah, always. I'm just
yeah.
like, I told Trevor, like, actually, yeah. I told Trevor I'm just, like, clenching all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? The rats don't rule this city. We do. Okay, Grace, let's get straight into it.
Wow. Okay. Can we kind of do that over? I hated everything that we just did. Can we try it again?
No, I liked it.
Authenticity? Fine. Trevor's always
are we,
trying
are
to keep
we
me
warm?
From gatekeeping.
Are we trying to warm
Trevor's
up?
Trevor's always trying to stop me from gatekeeping, and I'm like, no, let's do the whole episode over again. I hated it. It was awful.
I want to rip open my chest and let the ghoul friends see the beating, sensitive heart inside.
That's very nice of you. I plan to stay in a tummy-to-the-floor position because I'm not going to be exposing my gross underbelly to anybody.
Yeah, but then your head, like, rolls around like an owl, and you just, like, crawl across the floor and up the wall. Trying
terrifying.
To hide that underbelly, Grace. Always.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my
I love.
Okay.
I love every part of this.
No, I hate it. I hate it all. Okay, well, we can start. Are you ready?
I've already been. I've started.
Shut up! Like, I hate when you do ago. That. I hate when you're like, "I was waiting for you." Blah blah blah. Meanwhile, you're talking about my dad hurting. Stop.
Your dad's not hurt.
I know. All right. So, I have a a small case today.
A big one. Oh.
No, it's petite. It's wee.
That's what I would call average, Grace. Stop measuring with your fingers.
No, it's... Oh, no.
Holds up 3 inches. That's that holds up 3 inches. That's average. That's average.
Yeah, I think that looks pretty big to me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so, yeah, my case is very short. It's only 2 pages today. So
yeah, so like a mini corn dog.
Half of that's like padded. A mini corn dog of a case. A pizza pizza.
And half of it is covered in like corn meal. So it is pretty padded in there. You know how like the hot dog's just real pink in there? When you get into a corn dog, like if you peel off all the stuff off of it, like the old school school cafeteria corn dogs, is they're just like it's got like that wrinkly. They're good, but have you ever dissected one?
Yeah, they look like fingers that have been sitting in bathtubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bathtub dicks.
Exactly.
That's what they look like.
Exactly. Yes. They're like wrinkly fingers.
Wrinkly fingies. The ones at UT, I mean, bleep, were actually really good. I miss those.
Oh, man. God. When I think about school cafeteria food,
forever.
It takes me back to when we would just like try to come up with new condiments in elementary school of just like mixing ketchup and ranch and all that. Just left that to our own devices, good, we would just combine all sorts of nasty shit.
Left to our own devices. Yeah, I feel like and children be left to their own devices less.
Right. Shout out to my boy. I'm not gonna name him, but a guy I grew up with. his name is close to mine. You know who you are. He would eat ketchup sandwiches for lunch. All the time.
Oh.
Because he really liked ketchup, and then he would just like stash some ketchup packets for later. Just like rip them open
nice
and just
take
them
out
all
when they're
in his
pocket
mouth.
Temp and ew. He's like that fucker in the Guinness book that drinks ketchup.
Well, he was my friend, so you know, I would eat a couple by myself as well, but like honestly the acidity is not my favorite.
You know, ketchup, I don't just, think you
it by itself is not fun.
If you ask me, 9-year-old you has no business but chugging ketchup, and I don't know why you weren't supervised, and I'm vastly concerned about the public school system in your area. That's problematic.
You can't help the group of boys in the fourth grader's bathroom just boofing ketchup packets daily to just to break the monotony.
You know that prank that they used to tell you
about? Bringing the Heinz 57 bottles and just putting it in and hitting the 57 as hard as you can.
Do you remember that? Are you okay? That sounded like it hurt.
No.
No, you're not okay. Do you know the prank that they used to tell you about where you put the ketchup packets under the toilet seat? And if someone sat on, they would go, well, your friend's
there with
his mouth open.
We would twist them in half. So they would become so twisted to where they were about to burst, but they wouldn't untwist themselves. And then we would throw them on the ground as bombs because they'd burst as soon as they had any extra pressure. And so we would throw them at each other.
You know, that's part of the dark triad indicative of psychopaths is harm to animals, fire setting, and ketchup bombing.
Yeah. We would throw them at girls too and hit them in the head and just explode ketchup in their hair.
Oh my God.
And the whole goal was, like, there in the beginning when people didn't know what we were doing, we got away with it because we were, like, stone, like, just silent. We would just yeet one across the classroom, and then whoever laughed, we were like, it's your time to take the fall today. Looks like you're going home. Go to the principal's office. Have fun. And the rest of us who could stifle the laughter would just be like, yeah, that was great. And then after class, we'd just burst laughing.
You know, on today's episode of Teachers Don't Get Paid Enough, I have another story for you.
I don't think I was a good student.
There was this high school in your sad little face when you said,
I was a good student. Endearing at times, but like in the early years, definitely not. In middle school, definitely not.
What kind of student do you think I was?
Oh, an angry one.
A big, scary, mean one. I was angry I don't know. But I was just...
You're probably an overachiever, because that's just how it works.
Yeah. And I was...
You can't look like Grace follower. And not be an overachiever.
I was the lame one. What does that mean? You can't look like you have a 10-foot pole up your ass and not be an overachiever.
Grace, she walks like this.
Just always... Like a little T-Rex.
She walks like a duck. Why does she walk like a duck? Because the perfectionism pole is so far up her butthole.
Her butthole. Her asshole.
No, I don't think you're the perfectionist. I just think you like doing things right. But anyway. In your defense.
I just have standards. It's fine.
You do.
And I have control issues. And anger problems.
Control issues. Yeah.
Have a happy little reunion. Okay, the story.
Now that therapy's over, girlfriends.
Yes, the story from... There was this high school in my area growing up. And they were, for the senior prank, they had a water balloon fight in the hallways, which, whatever, right? Except some kid decided, there's always those kids that take it too far and, do their own senior prank on top of the other one and everyone gets in trouble.
That's what happened at my high school. Some kids just take it a little too far, right?
Go to school in hell? God, some kids.
Hillbilly hell. Right. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So you know how there's...
Trying to make it light and fun.
There's just those kids that, that ruin it for everyone, right?
I know.
And there was this group of kids who decided to fill... water balloons with Nair and throw them. Do you know what Nair is?
Oh yeah. It's worse than ketchup.
Yeah. It's hair remover, and they blinded some kid. They threw it at his face and he took a Nair balloon to the eyes. It is. Yeah. It dissolves your hair follicles. And he was blind. They blinded him. And there was a whole civil suit, and it was just insane.
Dang.
Insane.
That's crazy.
But you always hear about that. It was the same with at Marissa's high school, there was some senior prank. It was a year ahead of us, I think, but it was they were supposed to let all the air out of the tires. But then there were some kids of the school buses, because they all parked in the lot. And then there were some kids that slashed a bunch of tires, and they ended up, their parents had to pay $16,000 to the school to replace the bus tires.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because the bus tires, that's a size of a small child.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah.
Gotta be expensive. And there were some kids a year ahead of me that ran through McDonald's naked with F McDonald's and We Love Burger King written all over them. And they jumped the counter and ran through. And now they're sex offenders because there was a kid in the store.
Right. Holy fuck. See?
It was supposedly a prank.
Yep. You know, Ashton Kutcher got...
They didn't mean to do it, but rip.
Yeah, they did. They meant to be naked in a store. They just didn't consider the consequences because their frontal lobes were underdeveloped.
Right. They thought it would just be funny and that there wouldn't be any
consequences. Ashton Kutcher had they did a senior prank, and I don't remember what the prank was, but they broke into the school to do it, and he got caught and got arrested. Lost
kids as a youth pastor.
Oh, great! That's awesome. Yeah,
maybe
awesome.
We can cut that out. I'm trying not to be stupid.
Sheesh. Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Hurry up! We're recording now, woman.
Okay. I'm okay, sorry. Wait.
Jesus Christ.
Cut that out.
Jesus Christ.
Cut that out, me being a dick to my
wife. I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm playing. I'm trying to look all big and bad for the ghoul friends.
Is that what you were mean to me earlier?
Oh, was I mean to you? I apologize wholeheartedly. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, you're mean to me all the time. The first 5 seconds of this podcast, you said Grace is always in goblin mode.
I don't even know what that means. I just hear kids talk about
it. Well, I just think of...
Oh.
Is that what goblin mode is?
You kind of are.
For fuck's sake. Okay. Hey. You ready to get started?
Hey. Let's get started.
Hey. Hey.
Did you hear score? She said, hey, let's get started.
Hey. Trev, you ready?
I've been ready this whole time.
I hate it.
She's gonna rage.
Okay. I just had to blow a gasket really fast.
Welcome to this episode of How Fast Can I Gaslight Grace?
Oh my god. I've been gaslighted enough this year.
Why do you need to turn on all the lights? I liked it when it was dark. Well,
it was getting really moody in here and I didn't like
that.
Okay. I'm ready. You ready?
I think we should do some vocal warm-ups.
La 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 la.
There you go.
Okay. Like I said, my case is very small today. And so, okay. So for the adrenaline junkies of the world and thrill seekers, there are a number of hiking, like extreme hiking locations that pose a variety of risks, and
yes,
people for hiking, some reason climb
like feats,
right?
Like if you hike Mount Everest, it's a feat
with your feet. It's a feat.
Yeah, we love feet.
Yeah, right. This right. is the foot fetish podcast.
Okay.
So yeah, no, people who are addicted to climbing for some reason. I don't really get it. But whatever. Some yep. places are so dangerous that they've earned nicknames that don't exactly give you peace of mind. Okay? Like the Knife Edge, Angel's Landing, Hell's Revenge, Devil's Drop. Isn't that another thing? I don't know. Whatever. They all have like crazy names.
Yeah, like the one that Alex Honnold did in Free Solo. I think his name was Capitan or El Capitan or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely off-putting.
Yeah, right. This
one... Don't like captains.
Some of these places are so dangerous that they're actually banned to the public. Like, you can't go to these places. And, of course, people sneak out there all the time. Like, I don't know right. if you remember when I was doing the death of Cody something, the guy in the national park who his wife pushed him off the... Or his
yeah,
fiance.
Yeah. No, I remember. It was, like, really far out.
Yeah, right. And it was like a banned area, restricted area. So we're going to be talking about a very similar area. And this is not a murder, actually. It's a disappearance and a very, very strange one that bothers me. So one of these places that I'm talking about is an area banned to hikers in Hawaii. And it's known as the Haiku Stairs, which kind of looks like haiku, but it's pronounced haiku. Okay. Or the Stairway to Heaven. And photos A and B are on the drive. Now,
A and B.
This nickname is kind of a double entendre, I guess you could say, because one meaning is like, okay, you reach the top and it's supposed to be some of the most beautiful views in Hawaii.
Right.
And then also you could die. So I think those are the two kind of meanings of it. But the Haiku Stairs sit atop a ridge with steep cliffs on either side. 3,922 steps wind up a mountain in Kaneohe. Yes, on the eastern side of Oahu in the Ko'olau mountain range, and is said to lead to some of the most beautiful views in Hawaii. What do you notice about those pictures? Just the first two.
It is on a ridge, which a lot of people don't really understand a ridge, but it's a narrow ridge that's only wide enough for about, I'd say you at its widest, it's got like 6 feet across, but there's a narrow staircase and narrow meaning like there's guardrails on each side, big enough about 2.5 feet in width.
That's about how big it is.
Where you could kind of just walk in a straight line or a single file line down it.
Think of like a rope bridge, but it's like built into the mountainside. You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's kind of what it's like.
So there's like metal stairs. It's not like terrain stairs, but and then on each, you're really, really high up because it's a big mountain range, and like the height of the mountains in Hawaii can be gigantic. But it basically just looks like you're on just a giant tower of rocks.
So
with nothing on each
exactly.
Side.
So the if you've seen Squid Games, it's like the glass thing. That's what I think of, like the narrow glass path where they like they have to hop along, and if they fall off, they die. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Have you ever seen that show?
I watched like till like a couple. I got a couple episodes in, but then we lost.
Interest. Well, for those the girls who get it. If you've seen Squid Games, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so the Haiku stairs were originally constructed as nearly 4,000 freestanding wooden steps. So it was they didn't even have a railing. Okay, they were made out of wood by the U.S. Navy in 1942 to provide servicemen access to the Haiku radio station, a top secret facility that transmitted radio signals to Navy ships throughout the Pacific. In order to obtain the right height for the antennae, I don't know. The Navy stretched the stairs to span across the entire valley. Okay. In the 1950s,
Can we start a petition just to call them antennas? why is it like English got to be antennae? No. Antennas. Come on. Just add an S on that thing.
Put an S on that thing. So in 1950, the naval base was decommissioned and the wooden stairs were replaced by metal steps and ramps, and some remnants of the wooden ladder can still be seen beside the metal. So some of the railings are reinforced with wood. The stairs, which were made illegal to the public in 1987, were eventually scheduled for removal in September of 2021 due to mounting safety concerns and a history rife with dangerous accidents. Just earlier that year, a 24-year-old fell off the steps, dislocated his knee, and had to be airlifted off the side of the mountain. So that was in February of 2021. So,
yeah.
So this happens very routinely. And the security guards, I don't know, like beef up security? I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever. With a lot of like natural parks and stuff, there's always ways around it.
Yeah.
Like you could beef up security, but like there's always going to be like some sort of dead spot. Because they can't
and
just have, like,
particularly
dangerous, tight security.
Right. Because this is built on a ridge, it's particularly dangerous because a lot of people, and we'll talk about this in a second, in order to evade the security guards at the front of the path, they have people will free climb up the mountain through the brush to get to the ladder and, like, go around the security guard. So this, But the removal of the staircase came years after 18-year-old Dalen Moke Pua, and so we'll call him Moke because that was his nickname, set out to hike the treacherous path on the morning of February 27th, 2015, during a visit for a field trip to Oahu. So he was from the Big Island, and he was visiting Oahu, and he was staying with his grandmother while his school was – he was on this field trip for school. Moke was visiting his grandma in Waianae from the Big Island. He was a senior at a Hawaiian immersion school in Kealakekua. Yeah, I'm nailing all of these. During his visit to Grandma Martha's home, Moke wanted to hike the stairway and shared his intention with his grandmother, who strongly advised against it, reminding him that it was closed down and blocked by authorities. Quote, "And I told my grandson that it's closed down. They're not letting anybody climb that mountain. It was on the news, and I told him that." Ignoring his grandmother's wishes, Moke left her home on Friday morning and boarded a bus from Waianae, wearing a white long-sleeve t-shirt, black surf shorts, slippers. They never explained the slippers, but he's wearing slippers. And carrying a red backpack. He had promised
I'm hoping it's like slip-ons or slides.
I'm guessing that's what they mean. They call them slippers in every single source I saw. They call them slippers. And I'm like...
Yeah. Gotta be some sort of like local thing. Or local slang.
He had promised his grandma that he would return later in the evening and texted pictures of himself indicating that he was at the head of the trail at around 11 a.m. And he shared these pictures with family and friends and posted on social media as well. And these pictures are going to be important. I'll get to them in a second. The problem is, since that day in 2015, Moke has not been seen or heard from and remains missing today. So,
dang.
Let's kind of
I mean,
talk
the stairs
about-
look really cool. And like, if they were... They can't,
right.
There's no way they can be like made completely safe unless it was like walking through like an aquarium tube at the top of all the way up and down or down the mountain. Like in unless you could like prevent people from even being able to leave the path in some way.
Or the way they built that, the overhang over the Grand Canyon, something like that, you know? Like I feel like they could make it safer. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. So this is, you know, it's very long though. I mean, like in terms of like, it would be it and I'll talk about the demolition in a second, but it, I mean, it's going to cost, it's a multi-million dollar project to demolish, let alone reconstruct a new structure. I don't think, you know, and make it strong and safe enough would be super expensive. So anyway, so Moke is still missing. Now, similarly to anyone who goes missing while hiking or in the wilderness, the chances of locating Moke grew slimmer with each passing minute. So law enforcement acted swiftly, involving multiple branches. The fire department, local volunteers, drone operators, and even the U.S. Navy joined the search. The Honolulu Fire Department Captain Paul Bass said, quote, first crews were here maybe a little after 6:30 or 7 a.m., but the weather was much poorer then. It was actually raining cats and dogs, so they couldn't do much. We waited till about maybe 8:30, regrouped, took the next crew, and we've been searching since then. The whole ridge the stairs is on, we've kind of ruled out. But there is the summit trail that runs the length of Ko'olau Mountain. Ko'olau, yeah. And so, I mean, just a massive area is what he's trying to explain. Also, this is now the next day. The next morning that they're looking for him. So he's been missing since his grandma's, since he posted at 11 a.m. is the last time we know he was okay.
Yeah. And I mean, so, if he falls off the trail and down the mountain, then like that widens the search range. Cause at each side of the mountain, it's like sheer cliffs.
Right. And so we're assuming that he fell off, but we don't know.
Right.
So,
if he was trapped on top, then they would have found him with a, probably an easy pass, but not if he would have fell down.
And if he fell into the brush.
Right.
What I have hope for, or what I had hope for, was the red backpack, because I'm like, someone's going to see that against all the green, don't you think? Or like, but what I don't understand is why no trace of him has been found since today. Like, that's just like insane. I want to know how big this area was, because I didn't really look into that. But I would just assume that, like, with the amount of people breaking the law and like passing into this area, you would think that someone would stumble upon him. I don't know.
Well, so, yeah, but like not if he fell off one of the sheer cliffs and maybe got caught in the middle of one. Think about all the inaccessible or like hard to access places that could be all along the sides of those steep cliffs. Because I mean, it's not steep enough to where brush doesn't grow there, like in order to like little plants and stuff, but it's also like a tropical climate, stuff can grow everywhere, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of the most fertile soil in the world. So there's plants fucking everywhere, right? So that does, it's not like he fell off a cliff in the desert where it's a little bit easier to find if you're flying overhead.
Right.
So 4 days later, on the following Monday, two hikers, so they actually initially ended the search on Saturday evening, I believe. And then 4 days later, on the following Monday, or 4 days after the disappearance, two hikers called the fire department, reported hearing cries for help, okay, which added another day to the search, which was then officially suspended at 4:44 p.m. on Tuesday, March 3rd. So that was the closest thing to a lead at that time, was that they claimed to have heard someone. So family members and volunteers continued to comb the area for signs of Moke, alive or dead, but came up empty-handed. As family members began to suspect the worst, they pored over the photos Moke had shared, hoping to find the spot where he may have disappeared. It was in one of the photos that the family made a shocking discovery. Trevor, open up picture C on the drive.
Okay.
And tell me what you see.
Just a bunch of brush.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the man?
No.
He's right in the center. Click on photo C or D. Okay.
Yeah, I think I see that and now. And then
click E.
Oh, I see him, yeah. Just kind of like walking
Isn't
through.
Isn't that fucking terrifying? So, in one of the pictures that Moke posted, this was in the background of the picture. So, but what people, family didn't realize, because they're looking everywhere for signs of like, okay, some sort of marker to show where he was on the trail. And that we just see this dude. And he's like, I would say traipsing. Wouldn't you say that's what he's doing? I mean, just like he's fucking skulking. Like it's just like.
Well, lurking. It looks like he's ducking underneath a limb.
It does. It
because,
looks like
if you've ever like, walked crouching? Off the trail through like the brush and like through a thicket and stuff like that, especially in a tropical environment, like it's much easier to walk and bushwhack and from trail to trail, which means like hopping off of one trail and crossing through the woods to another trail. If you've ever been on a hike in the woods, you know that like the trail is easy to maneuver, and anything off the trail, especially in the summer when there's lots of leaves and lots of growth, it's definitely hard to one see, and then two also like walk in a straight line, because you have to walk around bushes, walk around trees, duck under limbs, all sorts of things. So, right. And in a like tropical environment that it is Hawaii, it's even more so. So like you're almost like cutting through the jungle.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. Skulking, yeah, but a lot of the times when you're walking through those dense areas, you're not standing straight up because you have to like duck around and move leaves and all that stuff.
I don't know. But either way, it's fucking weird.
It is weird because the fact that he is in this restricted area, and then there's also just happens to be a guy not on the trail, but just like walking right. through the woods with him or through the jungle with him. Like, no,
and this
weird.
Is behind him. This is behind him on the trail. There's someone. So he's taking a picture from behind him.
Right.
Ugh. There's something about that picture, and I'll put it on the Instagram post, school friends, but there's something about that picture that just makes my skin crawl, because it looks like he's walking. To me, it looks like he's walking with like a mission. I don't know. It just freaks me out. Anyway, so
I'd say your intuition is good.
Thank you. The official story is that the man has never been identified and is obviously a person of interest, as he may have witnessed or been involved in Moke's disappearance. Some have theorized that the man has come forward. One Reddit user identified the lurker as his friend and claimed it was coincidental that his friend had identified himself, but authorities have never confirmed this. And there is always the possibility that the man was just peeing. But tell me it doesn't look like he's up to something. Sure. There are people who think that he was just in the brush to pee.
Hey, sure, but like, I don't know where this was taken. So they need to like find out where this is taken. Because if it's
right,
taken up the
so
trail,
little information.
That's supposedly restricted, then why is he there? Along with.
So, okay. Most assume the man's never identifying himself is indicative of his guilt, but police say he may be in fear of being penalized for hiking an illegal trail, which I just think is dumb. If someone's life is at risk, you're going to be so scared, you're going to get in trouble, you're not going to say anything. I don't know. Whatever. Now, according to weather reports, there had been a powerful storm that swept through the area on Valentine's Day weekend of that year. So just a couple weeks before Moke disappeared. Yeah. So
environment being super wet, it makes it super slippery.
The soil, which is some of the most fertile in the world, is extremely porous. And because the ground was saturated, authorities have stated that the trail was essentially unusable. So, like, anyone who was walking on the stairs, even if it was on the metal stairs, the trail is shifting as you're walking on it. So you're just like, it's a fucking death wish. My issue is, given the popularity of this trail, it is baffling to me that Moke's body has never been found. How is it that you have all those hikers, many of them walking literally off the beaten path, like the urinator, to evade security guards, and no body has been located? It's just wild to me. And it I've never understood how people can just vanish. So the work to dismantle the stairs has been delayed several times, and as far as I know, has not been completed yet, though the Honolulu City Council has approved the budget of $1.3 million to demolish the structure, and that was in November of 2022. Of his son, Moke, Moke's father said, quote, "I'm doing strong, thinking he stay up there and he's all right, hoping they can find him before anything else happened," he said.
Aww.
So anyone with information on his whereabouts...
Still waiting for him to come home.
Yeah. Anyone with information on Moke's whereabouts is asked to call Crime Stoppers at 955-8300. So I think it's just a tragedy, and he was only 18, and it's just fucking weird. The guy freaks me out. The fact that the guy hasn't come forward freaks me out. But then even if the guy did something, why has no one found him? I don't get it. I just don't understand how he's still missing.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah.
Super weird. Hopefully Moke does get found and he comes home.
It's not like the forests in like the national parks in like the western United States where there's like super tall trees and it's super dense. Like when you look at those pictures, you've got a lot of green and stuff like that. But I don't know how tall the trees are, because with the area that the guy is walking through seems like it's kind of sparse, because it's sparse enough where you can see him. You know?
Yeah.
But he's standing.
In my nature, I was a Boy Scout. In my experience with nature, the higher you go, the smaller the brush gets. But also, in Hawaii, where, you know, if you look at these ridges, they're rocky, but they're covered in just like a layer of stuff that grows there because of the abundant sun and the fertile soil, as you said.
Yeah.
And because of that, at the higher you go, you're not seeing trees, but you're seeing a lot of thick brush that could come up to your waist, could come up to your chest at times. And as you go down this ridge, it becomes thicker and thicker until you get to more of like a forest floor, which, you know, is more like jungle, and jungle gets thick and everything.
And that's
like
the
that.
Part
also,
where he's falling, supposedly. Right. Yeah, so that's why you can't. I mean, that part makes sense to me. And
also,
like,
it's a long fall, so you could be ripped into a million pieces.
So true. He was only 5'7", 140 pounds, so super tiny guy. So, like, that makes it harder to find you, too, if he was, like, a 400-pound guy who was, like, right? Like,
well,
or if, like, Shaq gets stranded on a mountain in Hawaii,
right,
you're going to find him a lot easier.
He doesn't occupy as much space. And then another thing is true, what I was saying earlier about the middle height, or like as you get up top, like the trail is at the top, the forest floor is at the bottom. Any of these cliffs that have outcroppings and stuff, maybe he fell a little bit or slid down and got to a place where he, you know, couldn't be. And a place that was far enough away from the trail to where people couldn't hear him, and too far from the forest floor away for people to hear him, and he lost his cell phone or had no cell service.
Yeah.
And then just became stranded on a little outcropping.
That's
and there's no way to
stuck.
Sustain yourself.
Yeah.
He doesn't have water. He doesn't have food. He's just gonna starve and die up there.
So scary. So yeah. I like hot take. Stop hiking. It just seems dangerous to me. Like, you can enjoy nature in other ways. Go to a fucking park. Just stop walking on mountains, because you know how many people fucking die in national parks. It's just not even worth it to me, and I've never understood the appeal. Go to like this is like an ordained area where you can go to the Outlook, like the Blue Ridge Parkway, whatever. That's fine. Sure. But when you're like voluntarily going up on a mountain where people have died, like, why? I do not understand that. I don't.
Yeah. Well, it being restricted is one thing. So that's just a big no-no from people anyway.
Right.
In the times that I've hiked, and I hiked a lot whenever I was a kid, you know, if they close the trail, you don't go on that trail because of mudslides and other things like that. And the same thing is true. Exactly what you're saying is 100% true. When you're in the woods, you're not safe.
Right.
You're not safe. A state-owned land and everything else like that, a tent a tent zipper or a hammock or you and your backpack and your buddies, you're not safe. You're not safe from anything out there. You're in the elements. You're at the mercy of whatever and sometimes whoever wants to
come and mess with you. And it just doesn't, it doesn't appeal to me. It never has. I don't get, like, people are like, oh, I love camping. Why? Just camp in a campground, like, below the mountain. Don't go up on the mountain. It's like, oh, it's a two-day hike to get to the campsite. Why? Just, like, look at a tree in your backyard. I don't get it. And I know that's a controversial statement, but that's just how I feel.
It's not. It's not. I understand how you feel. It's,
But I'm very
interested. I understand it in a way of, like, I have such reverence for the outdoors because of the hikes that I had been on and the times when it really sucked and the times where we had to, like, walk really far. And I'm glad I never injured myself and had to go through that. But, like, yeah, no, there's like, a certain that reverence that you have to have for nature in order to be able to be in it safely. And the people don't have that reverence.
Right, but I don't want that to be like I don't have reverence for nature. I do.
No, you do, and that's why you're saying anything can happen out there. I'm not saying for you. I'm saying for other people that take it for granted or don't think about all the things that can happen and be prepared for it.
Right. I think I respect those are the
people that suffer.
There's something to me that's kind of like selfish about hiking almost because you're thinking like I can conquer whatever's out there. And I'm just like, I guess I have enough reverence for it that I'm just like, I'm not going to mess with it. I recognize how small I am in relation to anything that's out there, you know? So I'm just like, the risk doesn't seem.
Yeah, well,
and I'm sure it's different like it's, if you have experience with it, but I don't.
Well, you have to, whatever. You have to understand some basic truths and stuff, but ultimately it can be a safe experience if you are prepared to make it a safe experience and you're not out there to make dumb decisions. But yeah, either way, don't walk on a restricted trail.
Right. Yeah. I don't, whatever. But anyway, I really hope that he finds his way home, or at least I think at this point, I just hope they find a body. I do. Because
yeah, I want some closure for the family.
Right. And I really think the odds of him being alive are very, very slim. I think this is more just like what happened to him, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Trevor, I'm ready to hear your case.
Ready to hear my mystery?
Yeah.
Well, we got a juicy conspiracy for you, ghoul friends. Grace has actually sent this to me recently. And
I can't hear it. It's okay. Trevor's washing machine is singing.
So yeah, Grace sent this to me a couple days ago, and I'm excited to get into it. It's kind of history linked, but Ghoul Friends, I hope you brought your Beatles knowledge, because we're doing a conspiracy about the Beatles.
Yeah! Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum. That was terrible. I'm cutting that out.
No. Leave it in. I self-titled this one, Paul Be Dead, because in 1967, a rumor circulated in London that Paul McCartney had been killed in a traffic accident while driving along the M1 motorway on the 7th of January.
Mm-hmm.
McCartney then alluded to the rumor during a press conference held around the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, one of their albums in May. And if you don't know a lot about the Beatles, I'll try to fill you in as much as possible, yeah. But just quick
background
overview. The Beatles were a hit sensation. It was like kind of like a boy band before boy bands were a thing. But they originated in Liverpool, England, and there was four members: Ringo Starr, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, and John Lennon. If you don't know who the Beatles are, man, you should Google it. It'll be a good
fucking
good,
get fun, your head out of your ass. They're like the most famous. Dude, it's like that's the whole premise of that movie Imagine, where the guy, like, because everyone knows who the Beatles are, and he wakes up in a world where no one knows who they are.
Yeah, and it's so like
he starts releasing their songs and making money off of it.
Right.
Do you remember
It's like
that?
If you could combine the fame of, yeah, it's called Yesterday, isn't it?
Yesterday, thank you. Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah, I watched that on the
cruise.
That
is a Beatles song, but.
Yesterday, yep. Which is a cool movie. I would definitely recommend it.
It's an interesting concept.
Very interesting.
Okay, but what were you saying? You said combine the fame of what?
So, like, if you think about maybe Taylor Swift in today's age, that might be kind of like the crazy fandom of, like, the Beatles. And one thing that Taylor's, like, Swifties or people who like Taylor Swift and people like the Beatles have is that a lot of people analyze their lyrics for meaning. Whereas, like, people analyze Taylor Swift songs for, like, which boy is this about that she broke up with? Or, you know, what is Taylor thinking? All this stuff. They kind of did this kind of phenomena of where people started looking into the lyrics as messages started with the Beatles. Maybe it happened beforehand, but it grew in fame with the Beatles.
Again, just throw an S on that thing. Phenomenas?
Yeah.
You know?
Phenomenas. Do, 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 phenomena? Do, do. Phenomena. Do, do, do,
do. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, yeah. No, it's, I think Taylor Swift is a decent comparison. Maybe like Michael Jackson, someone who has prevailed for multiple years, you know. I mean, like the Beatles, the fact that they're still permeating multiple modern culture and 3/4 of them are dead.
Well, yeah, right? And right. And to like or add to the weird I don't know who's alive.
No, I'm saying or 4/4 because Paul is the only surviving member, but I don't if he's dead, then
well, you don't know if Paul's the, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Paul's body dead, double maybe. Is the only surviving member.
This is like Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll draw a correlation to that at some point.
Cool.
But by 1967, the Beatles were known for sometimes including backmasking in their music, which is kind of like including little messages in the background of the movie, of the music.
Okay.
And then people also started analyzing their lyrics for hidden meanings, and it was like a popular trend in the U.S. specifically, not in the U.K. And on September 17th, 1969, Tim Harper, an editor of the Drake Times Delphic, it was a student newspaper of Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, published an article titled, "Is Beatle Paul McCartney Dead?" And the article addressed a rumor being circulated on campus that cited clues from recent Beatles albums, including a message interpreted as "Turn Me On, Dead Man," heard when the White Album track Revolution 9 is played backwards.
Oh.
So are we following? It's such an obscure reference. They're like, somebody played it backwards and it says "Turn Me On, Dead Man."
What?
Yeah, so they were like, you know what? Paul McCartney's dead.
What would that even be forwards? And why Paul McCartney? Why not the other ones? Were they all dead at that point?
Well, I'll get into that because there's a couple other things that lead to it, but that was one of the big things in the article.
Okay, got it.
Also referenced was the back cover of Sgt. Pepper, where every Beatle except McCartney is photographed facing the viewer, and the front cover of Magical Mystery Tour, which depicts one unidentified band member in a differently colored suit from the other three. And according to music journalist Meryl Noden, Harper's Drake's Times Delphic was the first to publish an article on the Paul is Dead theory. So he was the first, but not the last. Everyone kind of jumped on the bandwagon after this caught steam. But Harper later said that it had become a subject of discussion among students at the start of the new academic year. And he added, a quote, "A lot of us, because Vietnam and the so-called establishment, were ready, willing, and able to believe just about any sort of conspiracy." So maybe a sign of the times, maybe not, but it originated in college and people were raving about this new rumor.
This was, so what year was this? Can you remind me, please?
1969 was whenever the album, or not the album, sorry. 1969 was when the article was written, but this rumor had started circulating amongst like radio hosts, like every
right. People thought he died in 1967. That's the conspiracy theory.
Yes, yes, and I'll elaborate on like the specifics of when he died and how.
Weird.
In late September 1969, the Beatles released the album Abbey Road, as they were in the process of disbanding at that time. On October 10th, so a couple weeks after September, the Beatles press officer Derek Taylor, so I guess their press, their PR, responded to the rumor stating, "Recently we've been getting a flood of inquiries asking about reports that Paul is dead. We've been getting questions like that for years, of course, but in the past few weeks, we've been getting them at the office and at home, night and day. I'm even getting telephone calls from disc jockeys and others in the United States," which is like radio hosts is what I would imagine.
Jeez.
And imagine how it would feel. So take a step back, take your conspiracy hat off, and think about how McCartney felt. Throughout this period, McCartney felt isolated from his bandmates in his opposition of their choice of business manager, Alan Klein, and distraught at Lennon's private announcement that he was leaving the group. And with the birth of his daughter, Mary, Paul McCartney's daughter, Mary, in late August, McCartney had withdrawn to focus on his family life. So he, like, pre the disbanding, he's mad at Lennon, he's mad at the band, picking a new business manager. This is all leading up to the disbandment, and then also people are saying that they think he's dead. So
wow,
you know, didn't help his case, but he was like, you know what, I'm probably just gonna go and live on my farm with my family for a little while and stay out of the public eye. Another proponent of this
Ringo
theory,
Starr is still alive. Sorry, Ringo, I didn't know that.
Yeah. George Harrison dead?
He's not dead.
He died.
George Harrison died in 2001, lung cancer. And John Lennon was murdered in 1980. So.
Right, but Paul McCartney's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, but yeah, Paul McCartney and... So it says, McCartney and Starr remain musically active. The Beatles were best-selling music act of all time with estimated sales of 600 million units worldwide.
Wow.
I don't know how big a unit is. That's crazy, though.
Pretty cool. So examples of this, of the theory that, you know, McCartney died is that on the 9th of November, 1966, McCartney had an argument with his bandmates during a Sgt. Pepper recording session and drove off angrily in his car, distracted by a meter maid, which I don't know what a meter maid is. Can you Google that for me?
A meter maid is like a cop that's assigned to giving tickets and monitoring parking meters. Yep. Yeah.
Which, in quotes, a lot of these occurrences happen or are verified from song lyrics. So distracted by a meter maid may have had some sort of metaphor or a direct lyric contrast to the song Lovely Rita.
Okay.
Which I guess the meter maid was Lovely Rita, and if she was lovely, it might have distracted him. I don't know. Not noticing that the...
I feel like a lot of their music is just like they were doing so many drugs.
Yeah, so that is one of the psychological theories.
Right.
Of that, like, of that era, all the people who listened to rock music and people who made rock music and all the hallucinogenic and mind-fucking drugs, they probably just wrote random stuff that didn't make sense. But then here are people who are imaginative or looking for a reason in all of it. And then they're trying to connect the dots, who are probably also taking drugs. You know, it's just a whole conglomerate of that, but let's not spoil the fun about that.
Right.
Cause it gets a little deeper.
Okay.
So we're back to the story of how he died. He was distracted by a meter maid, which was keyed to Lovely Rita, the song, not noticing that the traffic lights had changed, you know, so traffic light changed, which is in a day in the life, he crashed and was decapitated, which is from the song Don't Pass Me By. A funeral service from Paul was held with the eulogies by George, Blue Jay Way, which is a song, and Ringo Starr, who was also in some lyrics by Don't Pass Me By, followed by Procession, which is the Abbey Road's front cover, with Lennon as a priest officiating at his funeral and burying him, which is the there was a statement in Strawberry Fields Forever. At the very end of the song, you can hear Lennon saying, "I buried Paul."
Are you serious?
Or something at the end of the song. Yes. That's what people speculate. Weird. That they don't really know what he says. And I'll get into that later on, too.
Death conspiracies are so wild. Like, the celebrity deaths. It just, I know you're going to talk more about it, but they're just, they boggle my mind. Like, what?
Well,
what?
And can you Google the Abbey Road front cover? Because I want to show you some things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you should put in your Instagram post for the Ghoulie friends. Okay. We'll so,
put it on the drive.
Start from right to left.
Right.
Tell me who you see.
We've got Lennon, Ringo, Paul, and George.
Yeah, what is Lennon wearing?
All white, a little white tux number.
Yep, so that's white tux. That's to symbolize like a certain things. And then you got who?
And then you got Ringo. God, he's a tiny dude.
Yep.
You got Ringo. How's he dressed? He's dressed like, he's dressed like he's being buried. He's wearing like a funeral suit. It's like too big.
Do you notice anything about their feet?
I'm going to open it bigger. Okay. Their feet.
And by their feet, there should be one detail.
What?
So who's not wearing shoes,
Grace? Yeah, Paul's not wearing shoes. All those years I've stared at this cover, never. I have a shirt with this picture on it. I've never noticed that.
Yeah, I'll get into that later, but let's continue through my notes because I'll circle around to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So to spare the public from grief, or simply as a joke, the surviving Beatles had replaced Paul with a winner of a McCartney lookalike contest. And this scenario was facilitated by the Beatles' recent retirement from live performance and by their choosing to present themselves with a new image for their next album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which they began recording later that month. According to the source, the stand-in, or the doppelganger, or the lookalike, was an orphan from Edinburgh named William Campbell, who the Beatles then trained to impersonate McCartney. Others contended that the man's name was William Shears Campbell. This is the lookalike, and later abbreviated the name to Billy Shears. And the replacement was instigated by Britain's MI5, which is the Britain FBI, out of concern for the severe distress McCartney's death would cause the Beatles' audience. So they're saying that he was he died, but then he was replaced by some FBI actor or MI5 actor that would just keep the public together so that people wouldn't.
That's an icon for you. That they're so worried about the distress that his death would cause the public that they're like, that's insane. So you're okay. So the theory is that they hired this lookalike, the British intelligence hired this lookalike to prevent public outrage.
Basically.
God. And they did, John Lennon, they didn't even know what was coming in 20 years.
Right. And in this scenario, which will help explain the music, the surviving Beatles were said to be racked by guilt at their duplicity, which I don't know what that means, and therefore left messages in their music and album artwork to communicate the truth to their fans. Because, you know, they're racked by grief, they're sad, they want to be able to tell the fans what's up, but, like, because the government has stepped in and told them no, now they're artists.
Yeah, duplicity means like they're showing one image to the public and showing one image in private. So it's just dishonesty is what it is.
There you go.
This picture, I found this.
Doing that, right? Keeping up the facade. Dozens of supposed clues to McCartney's death have been identified by fans and followers of the legend. These include messages perceived when listened to songs being played backwards, and symbolic interpretations of both lyrics and album cover imagery. Two frequently cited examples are the suggestion that the words "I buried Paul," spoken by Lennon in the final section of the song Strawberry Fields Forever, which the Beatles recorded in November and December 1966. Lennon later said that the words were actually cranberry sauce. I buried Paul, cranberry sauce.
That makes more sense.
And that the words number nine in Revolution 9 from the White Album became turn me on dead man when played backwards.
What? So that I was writing this down because I'm like, what is that for? Like, what is this four words?
Turn me on dead man. It's not the words. It's just like play it backwards, the way it sounds.
Right. I'm just saying like, because I wrote it down because I'm like, if you said that out loud.
Okay, here, I'll attempt. So you've got Turn Me On Dead Man, number nine with an end on it would sound like I can't sing backwards.
Aren't those people who can talk backwards? Have you seen that before? It's so freaky.
No, I don't want.
And it's like double speak. Ugh. Okay, anyway, go ahead. It's okay, I'll figure it out later.
A similar reversal at the end of I'm So Tired, another White Album track, yielded Paul is Dead Man, Miss Him, Miss Him, Miss Him.
What?
Yep.
Which song
another
is
example is the I'm So Tired.
Okay.
Another example is the interpretation of the album Abbey Road album cover as depicting a funeral procession. Lennon, dressed in white, is said to symbolize the heavenly figure. Star, dressed in black, symbolizes the Undertaker. George Harrison in denim represents the gravedigger. And McCartney, barefoot and out of step with the others, symbolizes the corpse.
That is so interesting. That's so interesting.
People don't need shoes when they die.
Yeah. Do you think that... So they're saying that... Okay, so like I believe that that's intentional. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I've got more evidence. But, Speaking of things that are intentional, the number plate of the white Volkswagen Beetle in the photo of the Abbey Road contains the characters LMW 281F, mistakenly read as 28IF, so was identified as further evidence. Which the 28IF represents McCartney's age, if he had still been alive. Although McCartney was 27 when the album was recorded and released.
Wow.
And while LMW stood for Linda McCartney Weeps, or Linda McCartney, widow.
Oh my God, weird. Okay. I sent this to you just like I saw the thumbnail. Like that's all I knew. So,
or are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, go.
Okay. Another thing about the doppelganger is that the left-handed McCartney held a cigarette in his right hand, was also said to support the idea that he was an imposter, because left-handed McCartney wouldn't have held a cigarette in his left hand. An imposter who looked like him, but maybe wasn't left-handed, could get some things wrong.
So they believe that this picture, this is the fake dude. The timeline's a little confusing to me, but you're saying that this is the imposter in this
picture.
Well,
he died. So let's go back again.
He died in 1967.
On Abbey November Road. 9th, 1966.
Okay, and Abbey Road was released.
It's 1967, I think.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay.
Wow,
so
okay.
On the 21st of October, 1969, so we're going back in time, the Beatles press office again issued statements denying the rumor, deeming it a load of old rubbish, and saying that the story has been circulating for about 2 years. We get letters from all sorts of nuts, but Paul is still very much with us.
Very British. And
in October 24th, 3 days later, a BBC radio reporter... It's a pile of old rubbish.
You know, it kind of reminds me actually of the Scientology guy, where like his name, what's David... David's Scavenger, Miss Scavenger. No, it's something like that. And his wife, Linda, has been missing for like, she hasn't been seen in public since like the early 2000s. And whenever they check in with them, with the Church of Scientology, and they're like, yo, where's Linda? They're like, she's very much alive. They say that all the time.
All right.
That's kind of weird. Yeah.
I don't like that. On the 24th of October, you may be thinking, what's the best way to squash this beef? Let's find Paul McCartney and, like, ask him what's up. So a BBC radio reporter, Chris Drake, was granted an interview with McCartney at his farm. Because remember, after they disbanded, he was like, I'm going to, like, raise my kids and stuff.
Right.
McCartney said that the speculation was understandable, given that he normally did an interview a week to ensure that he remained in the news, like to remain popular whenever he was in the band, all that stuff. Part of the interview was first broadcast on Radio 4 and on the 26th of October, so subsequently on WMCA in the U.S. So remember, they're global, but back then we weren't necessarily set up to be like globally live, right. But they then ran the interview on the 26th of October. And according to author John Wynn, McCartney had conceded to the interview in hopes that people hearing his voice would see the light. However, but the ploy failed because you can't make people conspiracy theorists figure it out anyway. People didn't believe it because they believed the doppelganger thing.
Right, is people just assume, like, okay, he's really well-trained or whatever, you know?
Right, because if it's the doppelganger thing, then it's like, well, no, the FBI is still trying to hide the truth from us, which is what everyone who's going to believe in conspiracies will think. McCartney was secretly filmed by a CBS News crew as he worked on his farm, as in his and Linda's segment in the Beatles' promotional clip for the song Something, which the couple filmed privately around this time. McCartney was unshaven and unusually scruffy looking in his appearance. So he was secretly filmed. He's not like camera ready, all that stuff. His next visitors, so after he had been secretly filmed, were a reporter and a photographer from Life magazine. So CBS News was like trying to get footage of him. It's like early shots of paparazzi.
Right.
Paul McCartney, irate at the intrusion, he swore at the pair and threw a bucket of water over them and was captured on film attempting to hit the photographer.
Whoa.
Fearing that the photos would damage his image, of course, McCartney then approached the pair, and the fact that they didn't have TMZ back then, McCartney approached the pair and agreed to pose for a photo with his family and answer the reporter's questions nicely in exchange for the roll of film containing the offending pictures. So he agreed to sit down with them to an interview and let them take pictures and stuff after he basically figured out, like, maybe I overreacted, but also, like, why are you at my house?
Yeah.
In Wynn's description, this was, once again, author John Wynn. The family portrait used for Life's cover shows McCartney no longer shabbily attired as, you know, the CBS secret film crew, but clean-shaven and casually but smartly dressed. So he was able to clean up a little bit after.
Yeah. I've seen that cover before. Yeah.
More about his rebuttal. In November 1969, Capitol Records sales managers reported a significant increase in sales of Beatles catalog albums attributed to the rumor. The rumor benefited the commercial performance of Abbey Road in the U.S., where it comfortably outsold all the band's previous albums, Sgt. Pepper and the Magical Mystery Tour, both of which have been off the charts since February, re-entered the Billboard Top LP charts, peaking at number 101 and 109, respectively. A lot of this, you know, you could think of, like, government conspiracy, sure, or you could think of just a brilliant ploy to sell more albums.
Yeah, interesting.
Sure, let them believe that Paul's dead as long as it sells albums.
Wow. Maybe.
So it's pretty fucking, who knows if there was a little bit of leaning into it at times. A television special dedicated to Paul is Dead was broadcasted on WOR in New York on time. It was set in a courtroom and hosted by the celebrity lawyer F. Lee Bailey, who cross-examined LaBour, which LaBour is one of the original people who spread the rumor in college. He did like a radio show. And basically they were like, hey, calling in is LaBour. What do you have for us today? I'm here to present to you that Paul McCartney is dead, and here's why. And then he, you know, told him all about the references to songs and everything.
Effie Bailey. I just heard that name.
Yeah, Effie Bailey heard.
Strangler. He did the Boston Strangler murders. I was like, I just watched the Boston Strangler movie with Keira Knightley on Hulu. Amazing, by the way, and her accent is incredible. But that's where I was like, I've just heard his name somewhere. So he's a criminal attorney. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but celebrity lawyer be probably from the Boston Strangler stuff, or he had became infamous by that time. And basically they gathered a bunch of people who were proponents of the theory that Paul is dead and heard opposing views from witnesses such as McCartney's friend, Peter Asher and Alan Klein. Bailey left it to the viewer to determine a conclusion. Allegedly, or actually before the recording, Labor had told Bailey that his article that he presented to the radio host was intended as a joke, to which Bailey, the judge, sighed and replied, "Well, we have an hour of television to do, so you're going to have to go along with this." So, originally, whenever he made all these allegations, he was like, "I thought it was just kind of like a coincidence and a joke," but really, he didn't realize that he was going to ignite a giant conspiracy that, you know,
he didn't realize that people were going to believe it. Yeah.
Right.
Dang.
McCartney returned from his farm to London in December. Bolstered by Linda's support, he began recording his debut solo album at his home in St. John's Wood, titled McCartney, and recorded without his bandmates' knowledge, which was honestly one of the best-kept secrets in all of rock and roll history.
I was going to say, scandalous.
Until shortly before its release in April 1970, they had no idea of it. And according to
Doesn't he have an album called Paul is Live or Paul is Live? What, how do you say
yes,
it?
He does. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
According to the author, Nicholas Schaffner, and led to the announcement of the Beatles' breakup.
Mm.
So he, you know, released his solo album, and then that was kind of like the final nail in the coffin, which was like, hey,
got it.
The Beatles are done. In Lennon's 1971 song, How Do You Sleep? Which is not the Sam Smith song. Is that what he titled that song to?
How Do You Sleep?
The song like, How Do You Sleep When You Lie to Me? That one?
Oh, I don't
know. I can't remember what that song's called.
Having been to a Sam Smith concert, I don't know many Sam Smith songs, but I love them. I do. Okay, go ahead.
So Lennon in his song, How Do You Sleep, in which he attacked McCartney's character, Lennon described the conspiracy theorists as freaks who were right when they said you was dead.
Quote. So he's just pissed. Why did they hate each other so much?
I don't know. Creative differences, maybe.
Yeah. I know Yoko Ono was that's why people hated her. She broke up the Beatles, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the rumor that Paul being dead sucked too. But, there was also a rumor that was cited in the hoax surrounding the Canadian band Klaatu, which is K-L-A-A-T-U, after a January 1977 review of their debut album, which is titled 7:45 Eastern Standard, I don't know why I messed this up. I just said completely
7:45? What is it?
Okay, their debut album, 3:47 Eastern Standard Time, so it's 3:47 EST, is Klaatu's debut album.
You get 7:45.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell time.
Okay.
Yeah. This debut album sparked rumors that the group were in fact the Beatles. And in one telling, the theory contended that the album had been recorded in late 1966. But then mislaid until 1975, at which point Lennon, Harrison, and Starr elected to issue it in Paul McCartney's memory.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's dumb. I don't believe that one. That's weird.
Yeah, so but that's all I really have.
Okay. Oh, wow. What were you going to say about Avril Lavigne?
So Avril Lavigne, it's very similar, but like this is one of the previous or like a precursor to like the Avril Lavigne's dead kind of conspiracy style. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that one later. That it might be a shorter one because I don't know if there's a lot of evidence where this one it's had time to marinate and stuff. But it's still very far fetched, right? But like this logical fallacy or illogical thinking has happened with Paul, and then no wonder it happened with Avril Lavigne because people speculate.
It's very hard to it's very hard to disprove, like, you know, because you can, even people who see Paul McCartney in person, they're like, okay, but that's a doppelganger. They could say that till they die, like in terms of like people genetically testing him, like until he dies and people do an autopsy and they're like, this is genetically, this is him, because they're matching it to a sample from the 60s and it shows that he's been alive for 50 years. They're not going to be able to, or 60 years now, they're not going to be able to say that he's alive. Like, no, you can't dissuade those people.
But the problem with even the autopsy, and this is my point, problem with the autopsy and having the results be from a genetic test or whatever, is that people who really want to believe and that do believe won't take that for a right answer, because they'll be like, well, that was staged by MI5.
Right.
And, you know, MI5 probably has access to Paul McCartney's DNA, and all they did was really just say match it from an old sample.
So all these people, when Paul McCartney actually dies, they're going to be like, big whoop. Since 1966.
Basically, well, I mean, it just goes with anything. You know, they could prove that birds aren't real, but the people who truly believe it aren't going to listen to what the government says about anything, or that what anyone says about proving something. As long as they believe that that it's true, they're not going to.
How crazy would it be if he actually died between now and this episode coming out? That'd be wild.
I hope not, but if he does, go friends. We didn't plan it.
Yeah, true. How old is he?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Paul McCartney. I'll do a little side goog. Paul McCartney, he is...
I can't believe they said he was decapitated. It wasn't just he died in a car accident. It's such a specific
death. That was from the song.
Yeah.
He was born... in 1942, he's my grandfather's age. So he's 80.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm really glad I sent that to you, because I didn't know how big it was. I didn't realize how widespread it was.
Yeah, it's a big
one. I'm gonna have to actually call my dad after this, because I want to talk to him about the Abbey Road cover, because he loves the Beatles. So I'll have to see if he knows anything about this. And pretty wild. Very nice. Yeah. And very well done, very well covered.
Thank you.
And cool friends. I know it wasn't as upbeat as our normal episodes, but I feel like this was a more interesting and pensive. This is our pensive era. Would you say?
Yeah, I mean, cool friends, you tell us what you think about it at wheremurdermeetsmystery@gmail.com. And, if you loved it or hated it, let us know. I don't know. Probably email you back or something.
Or some shit. Leave us a 5-star review and follow us on Spotify. And did you already say our Instagram?
I did the email, but what's the Instagram, Grace?
You can follow us on Instagram at Where Murder Meets Mystery. And yeah, I think that's all we got, right? I'm going to actually call my dad. I don't know about you, Trev.
Yeah. Call your dad.
Call your dad. I don't know, man.
Just I hope all of our girl friends that listen to this episode will have a great week and a great day. If you're listening to this on your way to work, I hope that you're paying attention to the road, but also I hope that you're getting ready to go and tackle the day with us. So.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be a part of your lives.
So true. Okay. We love you.
Got a little sappy there, girl friends, but we do love you, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.